Hi, I'm Rob Wright.
And I'm Jen Follett.
And I'm Steve Burke.
And we're here to discuss the big news with HP. Jen.
Did something happen with HP recently?
A lot going on with HP. Before we get into everything that has gone on with the Personal Systems Group, the future of the PC, the future of HP, let's take it back to Exchange Americas in Denver.
Time.
A happier time, a simpler time in Denver at Exchange. We had Frank Rausch from HP on stage at one of the technology symposiums at our event. And there was some big news there, a big to-do. They gave away some free touchpads to VARs in the audience.
They gave away over 200 devices that day.
Yes.
To everyone at the show that came to the session, which was the majority of the 260-some-odd partners that were there. Everyone got to take them home. I actually sat next to a gentleman on the plane home who was one of those VARs and had his out and was playing with it. And seemed like they actually, you know, made some headway, generating a lot of buzz. People were kind of excited, interested to take them back home and check them out.
Yes, and I'll tell you, a few of the partners that I spoke with at the event and following the event thought that there was real business applications for the touchpad. They said it wasn't going to displace the iPad. I mean, we saw a lot of the VARs in the audience that day that had iPads, like most people. But they said there was real promise with the HP touchpad and WebOS, and they thought there could be real traction with it in certain verticals. Cut to a few days later, and what happens?
Bye-bye, touchpad.
Yes, all gone. They killed it about 6-7 weeks after the introduction. HP announced that they are discontinuing the hardware, which took us all a little bit by shock. I'm sure, Steve, you were shocked by it. Jen?
I don't think anyone saw that coming. I
mean, no, not seeing it killed that quickly, no. It was a surprise. And then coupled with the other announcements, which were, I mean, bombshells in their own.
I mean, I think everyone knew they were having trouble with it. You know, the reviews were not great.
Right.
They also weren't total bombs either. You know, there was a lot of gray.
Right.
Okay, we knew that. But with all the fanfare and all the energy and all of the advertising,
and the
Manny Pacquiao and Lea Michele from Glee,
the girl
and all
from
the
Glee.
Stuff going on, all the money and effort that went into that, to say 6 weeks in, never mind. Wow.
It's a big write-off, and I'll say something that, you know, I know there's a lot of talk out there about how Leo Apotheker, or the new HPC CEO, wanted to make HP more of an enterprise company, like in the vein of IBM and everything like that. But if you've already paid a premium for Palm and you've already made the commitment to release a tablet, you would think that they would have given it a little more time, or if management was really had no faith in the device, they would have turned around months ago and stopped it. Stopped it before it was released, because now, I know HP's got a great reputation as a technology company. I know this probably won't happen, but if it was any other company, you'd sit there and say, they killed this after less than 2 months. I'm never going to buy another product out of the gate from this company again. I'm never going to be an early adopter for HP.
And the thing, okay, too, for the channel, I mean, they really began talking about this about 6 months ago.
Right.
And so, you know, partners started planning for it. Partners felt like this hole was going to be filled. They were going to have a real enterprise mobility story to tell with the HP brand behind it. People started making plans for building up business around it, bringing on new hires, developers, application building for it. I mean, that did not happen in the last 6 weeks. That's much longer investment from some of these channel partners.
Yeah.
Guys, I guess what I'd say is, let's put this thing into perspective. And I think the bigger issue is the HP board's decision to explore strategic alternatives for the Personal Systems Group. A $42 billion business. You know, so HP's board has come out and said now that they're looking at a full or partial separation of the Personal Systems Group from HP through a spin-off or another transaction. And really, the touchpad and the WebOS news pales in comparison to this.
Oh, absolutely.
Because what HP has done here, if you talk to long-time loyal HP solution providers, in the sales trenches. What HP has done is literally thrown into limbo millions of dollars in PC, laptops, and server sales that were in the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
So solution providers have been being walloped by their customers who are coming back to them saying, hey, look, that deal we were talking about in terms of HP products, that HP solution, put the brakes on that. Let's talk about that.
It's on ice, yeah.
It's on ice. A lot of a lot of partners right now are really...
in a bad place.
Are in a bad place. They're scrambling. And if you talk to the partners, they are trying to make the best of a bad situation. But there really hasn't been anything that has come from the company that's really... helping them. There's been real no lifeline.
What could they say, though? I mean, really, could they? Is there anything these guys could come out and say now, at this point, that would help this situation? Because they really,
I mean,
they can. I know a lot of them have come out and say commitment to the market and all that, but you already have said you're not committed. You already said you're not sure. So how do you take that? How do you unring that bell?
You know, I think this HP situation is a lot like the instability we see in the stock market and the world. Macroeconomic situation right now. What it's done is put a lot of instability into the system. And the biggest thing that HP could do now to get this cleared up in terms of the sales pipeline is to make a decision on the PC
quickly.
Keep it, spin it off, make a decision yesterday. And get that news out to partners and customers. That's what partners want. That's what partners need.
And they come out yesterday, actually, and said 12 to 18 month time frame for making that decision. That's way too long.
It's incredible. And remember, IBM.
Well, let's make sure on one thing that we got to get this in here, because on the conference call with partners. HP's Personal Systems Group Executive Vice President Charlie Bradley said that the board will make a decision here in terms of a formal review in 8 to 12 weeks. So we're going to see some kind of statement from the company in 8 to 12 weeks. Now, how long will this take? I mean, there's no telling. There's a lot to sell a $42 billion business is not... it's not something that's done in a day.
But Steve, I mean, and Jen, you remember when IBM sold its PC business to Lenovo, there were rumors that, you know, for a couple of days leading up to the announcement in December years ago, I think it was 2005, there's talk that there's going to be a sale of the ThinkPad business, the PC business, and it was a watershed moment, they said, because IBM, you know, allegedly created the PC and now they were selling that business. But you didn't have sort of the uncertainty and sort of the just the question marks and people saying, well, what are they doing? Like there have been, you know, there was a couple days lead in, there was the announcement of the sale to Lenovo, and then they spent the next year sort of integrating that business and ramping people up and making sure that it was a smooth transition.
Let's turn back the clock. One of the things that's really nice is we have some perspective here,
sure,
because we're all here for that. But if you look at it, IBM, how IBM handled the sale of its PC business to Lenovo was like night and day. If you'll remember, you know, IBM announced that in late 2004, and IBM retained a 19% stake. You know, Lenovo took over the desktop PC business, including R&D in manufacturing. It was very seamless down to the sales engagement. It was very clearly communicated and well articulated, right down to the IBM channel people were going to be in the field.
Yeah.
Helping the Lenovo people during this transition.
And many of those guys are still there today.
HP still might do that.
Yeah.
Right.
This thing got out of the bag way too early.
Yeah, exactly.
Clearly their hand was forced.
Yeah.
I think they got some bad advice from their legal counsel that they needed to get out in front of this. I mean, I think they were talking about fiduciary responsibilities, but the stockholders, I'm sure, would have much rather this not come out publicly until it was locked and loaded.
Yeah, and it just seemed odd because it was all happening on the same day that they announced the touchpad was going on ice, but they said they were still going to keep WebOS and explore options for it. So they're killing their tablet, but they're also buying
Autonomy
for $10 billion, which was a bit... So they're going to have questions about that, why they're paying that much money for it.
And all of that came as they also lowered their guidance again.
And lowered their guidance! And then they and then the big news is, oh yeah, we're exploring options for our PSG business. I mean, it just... you're right, it was not handled as well as it probably should have been.
I can't imagine that was the plan all along.
Yeah,
to announce everything that
something,
way.
Something, I have a feeling you're right, something probably forced their hand.
I know there were some stories in some of the wire services that clearly somebody thought that was, you know, enough information that they needed to talk about it.
Sure.
But, I don't know.
Can I talk about something
that's
really exciting to me in the midst of this HP news is, Dell chairman and CEO Michael Dell.
Yes, you did.
Really stepping
up. With him.
Really stepping up and articulating a clear path for solution providers.
I mean,
a clear alternative, a clear choice.
If HP gets out of that business, Dell comes out in a really good spot.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is a advantage Dell, a big advantage for Dell in terms of what's going on here. And I think you'll see a lot of partners hedge their bets and look at Dell here. And what's exciting to me is Michael Dell is fully channel engaged.
Yeah, you spoke to him.
Yeah.
Tell us,
you?
The listeners what you got from him in speaking with him last night.
I think the biggest thing in speaking with Michael is just how excited the company is to continue its strong partner march. And I know HP was, Todd Bradley had noted in the conference call a lack of a vibrant channel for Dell, and I couldn't disagree more wholeheartedly. Dell is a partner-centric company.
Yeah.
This company has made a solid, steady channel march. It's like night and day. And you know, F. Scott Fitzgerald said there are no second acts in American lives. Well, let me tell you, Michael Dell proves that there are second, third, fourth, and fifth acts in American lives because he's taken this company to a whole nother level. And if you look at what they're doing in the company that he's building and the acquisitions that the company has made, Compellent, Equalogic, Force 10.
Yep.
This is an end-to-end comprehensive PC to data center software, big services company, right? They bought Perot. This is an exciting company, and I think it's an exciting partner story. And I guess the biggest thing that I'd really like to communicate from talking to Michael is just how channel engaged that company is. We talk about this all the time. You cannot have a channel-centric company without a channel-centric CEO.
Yeah.
And Michael Dell
absolutely
is a channel-centric CEO.
Yeah.
And another thing, he's also one of the most competitive and engaged CEOs in the market. He's in the sales trenches helping partners win deals.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
He created a bit of a ruckus with some of his tweets. And he was out there right after the HP News came out, I think, a day or two later saying, bye-bye, HP. Sorry you don't want to be in the PC business. We sure do. Like, what did he say about that, Steve?
Let's talk a little bit about that, because I think one of the things that was really interesting talking to Michael, and it was almost like getting an economics lesson and a PC history lesson talking with Michael because of his knowledge of the business and his grasp on all elements of the business, the economics of building a PC business, an enterprise business service. But, you know, Michael talked a little bit about the economics of the PC business. And if you look at, what Dell has in terms of its supply chain, what you gain from being in the PC business, there's huge supply chain advantages. And if you look at the components that are in PCs and servers, as Michael noted, it's disk drives, processors, and memory, right?
Yep.
This is what these products are. And remember, we're talking not just PCs, laptops, servers are a big thing here. what Dell has is a huge, significant supply chain advantage that it can leverage. And Dell is a supply chain king as a company that it is going to be able to leverage with if HP spins off or rips apart this PC business. There is no way that HP will be able to maintain those supply chain benefits to other parts of the company. So if you look at that,
HP server business suffers if these
HP server business, HP's enterprise business,
IBM server sales went down after the sale of the PC business.
Absolutely.
And that's an excellent point to make, because when you tie it all together, you do get that advantage. You get to buy the products. To buy the components for a slightly lower price.
That's it. And what Michael talked about was, you know, IBM's x86 server share dropping. You know, globally, IBM, I believe now, is about 14 to 15%. Dell's at about 26, 27%.
Yeah, yeah.
But what Michael points to, and this is a real powerful story, is that Dell is the x86 product portfolio partner of choice. Let me repeat that. The Intel x86 product portfolio partner of choice. Think about these chips, these brains in the computers that are running, what they're running right now on storage, you know, big servers. You know, there's just a lot of advantage to having that premier position in x86. And Intel isn't slowing down. This is going to be a huge advantage for Dell HP, in fact, has hammered home time and time again during the the Mark Hurd era and even at the outset of the Leo Apotheker era, the advantages of this being the largest IT information technology company in the world. Let's get one thing on the table.
To the biggest
let's
one.
Get yeah. this on the table. If this is spun off, that's a $42 billion business with a lot of cash flow, and I think it brings a lot of benefits that Michael has talked about economically, supply chain, but also it's not just supply chain. Michael talked about this, and it's also on the position that the PC gives you in winning business in even the higher end. And if you talk to solution providers, you know, that's what we do day in and day out. We talk to the solution providers. And if you talk to the solution providers, they will tell you that customers want that one throat to choke, one company they can buy it all from PCs to data center, and that they are already seeing an impact in deals, because people fear that HP won't be there with PCs or laptops, and the whether it's the education business, the government business, or commercial business.
Yeah,
there's a lot of companies that make decisions that start at the desktop and say, okay, let's talk about the product. And remember, the solution providers are the trusted advisor here. So
let me ask you this, Steve. You have been talking to a lot of partners. Do you think that the Dell message is starting to make sense to them? Are people looking at that now that haven't in the past?
Yeah, I think clearly people are looking for alternatives in the wake of the announcement. But I think the big story here is that, this is not the Dell of 20 years ago.
No,
the big story is this is a big, diversified PC leading storage software products.
Yeah.
They brought a lot of channel know-how in through those acquisitions.
What a great point, because this is one thing Michael talked about. That channel momentum is growing and it's building. And it's growing and building with every acquisition they add. And can we just point out to, remember the Equalogic acquisition?
Yes.
And how fearful those partners were and how well handled that was. Round of applause for Michael Dell and Greg Davis. For that transition was handled, and the channel march, you cannot deny. You just can't deny this company is a channel partner centric company.
Steve, I want to say something. I could never imagine Steve Burke saying these things about Dell, even 7 years ago. I mean, it really is. It shows how big of a change this company went through. I mean, I remember the old days, you know, 10 years ago. Well, Dell was the direct king. Yeah, it was an enemy of the channel.
Well, you know? I I'd like to clear that up a little, too. I mean, you know, we did put Michael into the CRN Hall of Fame.
Oh, sure.
Michael did build a direct powerhouse, right?
Yeah.
But there was always Dell always had a significant channel company, because there were always a lot of partners, thousands of partners over many, many years who made a good living.
Yeah.
Selling Dell.
Michael didn't
talk about it a lot, but there was a I don't know what you'd call it, an underground channel. I mean, there was a channel.
Sure, sure. It's kind of like what Apple was doing today.
Yeah, and there was a you know, in many respects, a strong channel even then.
Yeah.
Because guys were making money. I mean, it was at a different margin level, but guys made a lot of money selling Dell PCs and servers.
But they were the outsider to HP,
absolutely,
to Compaq.
Absolutely.
Now, as you pointed out, they are the x86 partner of choice now with HP doing this, because now you're right. Lenovo doesn't have, you know, they have PCs, they have servers, but they don't have storage. They don't have everything all the way up from PCs and you know, notebooks and smartphones all the way up to the data center. They don't have that full picture. I mean, I'm sure Lenovo is going to benefit from some of this stuff, but it really is. This is a prime position for Dell. I want to go back to one thing that Jen mentioned about Michael Dell, you know, some of the tweets saying, hey, partners, get on board, you know, whoops, sorry, HP, sorry, you're getting out of the business. I mean, he is a different kind of CEO. You couldn't imagine a guy like, you know, a Lou Gerstner or somebody like that, or even Sam Palmisano today doing something like that.
You know, you're right. I mean, I think that partly comes from the fact that it is his company.
Yeah.
It's always been his company. It's his name.
Yeah, it's his name.
Dell has always been Dell.
Built up from his dorm room.
Dell is Michael Dell. So yeah. I think, you know, he's a passionate man, and I think it comes out.
Well, I think there's such a great point, Jen. He's passionate about the business. And one of the things that's so exciting talking to Michael is to see how passionate and how engaged he is in building this business. And to me, what's exciting talking to him and looking at where Dell's going, looking at the acquisitions and the march that he's making, I'm excited by the Dell strategy and the Dell channel march and his leadership. Mm. I think that's the story. You know, you bet on people, right?
Read the tweet, Steve, that he sent. It's in your story you did earlier this morning.
Yeah,
read
it to us.
About the channel.
Yeah.
And, you know, on Tuesday night, Michael tweeted, "We love the channel. Are you a channel partner that has not joined us already? It's never been easier to sign up." And it had a link to the Dell Partner Direct
That's
website.
That's pretty cool for a channel partner to see that in a public
forum.
From a CEO. Yeah. It doesn't happen that often.
No, it doesn't.
You know, I know, because I talk to a lot of solution buyers out there, Michael is on email and on the phone and willing to make calls with partners. He's helping close business. That's a big deal. When you've got Michael Dell, right, the head of a $62 billion company, and you're a partner with that company, and Michael Dell is helping you win business, that's a big story. That gets you fired up. That has partners wanting to go in and win more deals for Dell.
And on the flip side of that, you have these deflated HP partners. I mean, could it be like two sides of a coin? I mean, it's...
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously they've got a lot of work cut out for them as they go forward, because there's not only going to be questions about what they're doing with the PSG business, but there's got to be some questions from the guys that don't do a lot of PCs, do more servers and storage, and say, well, wait a minute now. You know, how is this going to affect my business long term? You know,
HP, like our servers next, you mean?
Yeah, well, maybe not our servers next, but what other changes is this new HP gonna like? What directions are they gonna go in? I mean, this is a very different company. Steve, remember I pointed out to you that the board of directors, most of those guys, I think they got 14 directors, and I think most of them, I think all but two or three of them are you know, joined the board as recently as 2009 or 2010. So you're seeing a lot of changes with this company, and yeah, no, they're not going to get out of servers, at least anytime soon. I highly doubt it. I mean, nothing that drastic, but how does it affect, you know, corporations and their buying decisions and saying, okay, well, you know, for a couple of years now, HP is saying we've got everything. We've got networking, we've got storage, we've got servers, we've got PCs, yeah, we've got software, we've got it all. And making an attack on that data center stack, the full stack. Well, now they're cutting it up.
Ironically, one of the companies that made this mistake was 3Com.
Yeah.
They got out of the enterprise switching business. They got rid of the core builder line. They did it very badly. And everybody got hosed. The customers got hosed. The partners definitely got hosed. And it took a very, very, very long time for people to get over that. And some, in fact, never did.
Yeah.
Because they really felt slighted. They felt like 3Com pulled the rug right out from underneath their business. And now here we are talking about HP. They're tied to WebOS. I mean, the connection's kind of funny, actually. I mean, in a sad and horrible way. But it's the same kind of thing where you've got people now having to wonder if the businesses they built, these channel partners, have built up these businesses over years and years of sweat, blood, and tears, now don't even know if the product line is going to be around for much longer or what it's going to look like, or is it going to have a different name on it? I mean,
yeah.
Well, this is the key point to keep coming back to. The uncertainty is just terrible. It's terrible for partners. It's terrible for HP.
What do we think the best case scenario is for those partners? Is it somebody like Samsung? I know there's rumors, and Samsung said that no, we're not going to buy PSG from HP. But is it another vendor like, you know, Lenovo did with IBM, IBM's PC division? Is it another vendor like a Samsung or a bit Sony maybe, or a big computer, Acer, coming in and saying we'll pick it up? And we'll because you can't pick up that business and not still go through the channel. I have a hard time believing anybody would buy it if they weren't going to still sell that a lot of that equipment through the channel. So is it another vendor coming along and buying it, another premier vendor, or is it them spinning it off as a separate company with a lot of the same HP brass, maybe? Like, you know, Todd Bradley running it. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know what the best case scenario is. And talking to solution providers, I think the big issue.
They hope they keep it, right? I mean, they hope that HP.
Best case scenario is they do nothing, right?
Yeah, well, they do nothing, and they keep it.
Well, but maybe that would be the best case scenario. But the best case scenario is that HP make a decision here
quickly,
and communicate that to partners and customers and clear up this. This instability that's really wreaking havoc on solution provider businesses right now at a time when the world economy is not exactly robust. I mean, the other side of the story from the channel is, you know, the channel has never been stronger in terms of its services, high services quotient. Right. And you know, the channel is becoming more critical to customers as we move from this capital expense based IT project era to a real, you know, cloud computing operating expense month to month, because solution providers are really taking the business over for customers from the desktop to the cloud and allowing customers to focus on their own business. This trend that is a runaway train with cloud computing. This trend is just inexorable, and it's happening much faster than anyone anticipated and much faster than people know. When you talk to customers and when you talk to solution providers day in and day out, they will tell you this thing is a runaway train, and that it's the world is not going to go back. So this ability to sell services is the real critical issue here.
But
cloud computing, mean, it actually kind of works in HP's favor if they are actually getting rid of this business, because the PC itself is going to become less important as these cloud services come on.
Sure.
I mean, you're looking at like companies like Samsung that have those they call them like kind of virtualization ready units that really are kind of a monitor with very little else involved because you don't need it. It's everything's in the cloud. So, you know, I mean, the power on the desktop in a lot of places is not going to be as important as it is today.
Well, let's go by. I'm talking about the services model, but one thing I do want to point out that Michael Dell, who knows a thing or two about the PC business, really gave our readers a history lesson in the PC business, and he talked about, you know, all this talk about the post PC era, and you know. And he went back and did a search, and he put this on Google Plus.
This was good.
And he put links into it and the whole thing. But he talked about the first reference that he had seen to this post-PC era was in
1999.
From an IBM press release. So now we go on and talk to Michael, and Michael says, you know, the industry sold in 2011, there'll be 440 million PCs sold, right? And if you look at the installed base, there's a 1.5 billion PC install base. And how many PCs are there going to be in 2014? Well, Gartner will tell you there'll be 2 billion PCs in the field in 2014. I think the PC is kind of like is getting no respect. It's a Rodney Dangerfield. But I think Michael's right. The PC is critical. It's going to be around forever. And if you look at it, you know, think about this, right? Did TV kill radio? No, TV didn't kill radio, right?
Yeah.
Did the internet kill TV? No, the internet didn't kill TV, right? I mean, the PC, I think one of the things that's going to be interesting is this cloud thing moves and gains more and more steam. I think people are going to have solution. I think it's going to be critical for solution providers to provide the PCs and all the products too. So to just focus on the software, I think is a mistake.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you, I've seen this in the solution provider business over 20 years. Everybody, you know, if you look at the mix of product and services, you know, the optimal mix in many ways is 50% product, 50% services. And if you look at, there's many thousands of service providers, strong service providers that were in the service provider business making big profits, mm-hmm. and looked at it and said, I need to have a strong product play so I can be have more knowledge about where the industry's going in terms of technology, and they've added products and grown by leaps and bounds. I think you're going to continue to see that happen. I think to really discount products, any product, PCs, laptops, tablets, you know, storage networks, smartphones, to discount products is a big, big mistake. And I don't think the channel will.
That's the whole point, though, is that the PC, it's not just like one thing facing it down. Cloud computing, tablets, the margins are already barely there as it is. The prices are going to keep going down. And as more and more cloud computing and tablet computing comes on, you're not going to need as much power on your desktop, making the ability to charge a premium less. I mean, there's always going to be people that need PCs. Okay. No, of course. But
what's
there are
the business
going to
be like?
It's going to be different.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you this. I think people also make a mistake when they say partners don't make margin on PCs and whether it be smartphones or tablets, because smart partners do make significant margin on those products. And I got to tell you. No, in part of a in, with a full
part
solution.
Of the true
right.
solution.
Part of a full
right.
solution.
Exactly.
But let me tell you that just was something funny on the Michael talking to Michael Dell, and you know we're talking about this whole PC, tablet, and smartphone.
He heard you typing on your keyboard.
He heard me banging away on the keyboard
as you're talking on the
and
phone,
and we're talking about the future of the PCs. And he says, "I hear you're clicking away on a keyboard there. You're probably not using a tablet right now, are you?" I go, "No, well, actually, you're right." But he said something that was really interesting. He said, "You know, people had PCs, then they got a smartphone. Well, when they got the smartphone, did they throw out the PC? No. Well, then people had, you know, you had your PC, you had your smartphone, and then well, you got a tablet. You added a tablet, right? Well, when you got the tablet, did you throw away your smartphone or your PC? No, you didn't. I think one of the great things when you're talking to someone like Michael Dell is that insight into the market and where this business is going. I mean, it's so, really opens up your eyes. When you're talking to CEOs like that, leaders like that, they open your eyes up to the possibility of, and the future.
Yeah.
What's going to happen?
Yeah.
Really, what's going to happen? And really, what is Dell's direction, right? He's talking about where Dell is going as a company.
It could be more different than HP.
It's exciting.
I have to wonder, speaking of the future, I mean, if HP has really kind of hurt its own chances of even doing anything positive with this business because they played their hand too soon. I mean, now I don't know how far down the line they may or may not have been discussing a sale with anybody, but now they lost their upper hand. They're not going to be negotiating from a position of strength anymore. Everyone knows they have to do this quick.
Yeah, I mean, I have a feeling we're probably going to be sitting in this room, what'd they say, 8 to 12 weeks they hope to come to a resolution on this. Probably in that time frame, we'll probably be sitting in here saying, you know, what the heck just happened? Either they sold it to somebody that we didn't see coming, a real dark horse, or they sold it for a price to, maybe a Samsung or a Sony or somebody else for what we didn't think was, you know, appropriate value for a $42 billion company. And I hope that's not the case, but I know we're probably going to be revisiting this subject in the...
Absolutely. The shareholders have to say at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely, Robin. I think a real good point to close on, a real good point to make here to kind of close that is that, solution providers really are counting on us and reached out to us during this period of crisis, really, and have really looked to CRN.com, CRN and everything channel as as the company that really accelerates the sales cycle for technology solution providers and vendors to figure out what this means. And I think, you know, we're going to be there. We're going to tell you what we're going to be out there digging. We're going to tell you what we see, and we're going to tell you what it means.
Yeah. This is going to keep us busy at CRN for quite a while. So I want to thank you guys for participating in a spirited discussion on this stuff.
And it's always spirited when Steve's around.
I know. Look forward to getting back in here, like I said, in about 8 to 12 weeks to dissect the next chapter of this saga. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Rob. It's a great time.
Thank you.